Happiness is a mindset. It's a way of life, and we're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Secret Society of Happy People was founded on this day 30 years ago. It was later renamed the Society of Happy People. Nevertheless, the goal is for people to make an effort to recognize and even talk about their happy moments as much as they do their unhappy ones. Perhaps more, because happiness is more fun. So what brings you happiness in your life? Is it something small or big? Perhaps something in between? Do you intentionally make time for happiness, and how do you do that? How does it make you feel? We're at 800-642-1234. Pamela Gail Johnson is the founder of the Society of Happy People, which is based in Texas. The society has thousands of members from 45 identified countries. Pamela, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me this morning.
So
good morning and happy Thursday.
Yes, happiness happens day. Lots of H's there. So why should we be making happiness a priority right this very moment in our lives?
Well, I think it's important to make sure that we try to at least keep happiness in balance with our unhappiness, I guess, if you will, or we like to call them just happiness zappers. Some are bigger than others. Something like, I think nationally right now, people are a little bit in shock and there's some grief going, there's obviously in certain communities a lot of grief going on, but I think there's a ripple effect of the nation's kind of grieving. And so sometimes that's like a bigger type of unhappiness than, say, traffic or somebody was rude to you at a store. And so I think it's important to, try to keep the types of unhappiness, if you will, our happiness zappers, in balance. And so hopefully you have at least as many happy moments as you do unhappy ones.
Help us understand where we might see happiness zappers in our day-to-day lives.
Well, we have four practical happiness principles, and one's called, happiness zappers zap everyone. And we try to divide them up into, like I said, unhappiness, because everybody also experiences what I kind of call real unhappiness, and it's not going to just go away because you just don't like it. I mean, it would be nice if it did, but it doesn't. So those are those big kind of life-changing moments that people have. And then we have just what I call stress, which is, there's just normal stressors in the course of a day. And in fact, some stress can even be good for us. So we don't always think of stress that way, but there's just like normal stressors. And we sort of know that they're just, unless they're connected to unhappiness, they're just part of our daily life, and you manage them. And then we have annoyances. And I think these are the places where we can really try to manage them even better. We let annoyances and even chaos, I'd like to divide it into a couple of other categories. Those are things that are just, for the most part, temporary, and you somewhat get a choice on how long you let that zap your happiness. So annoyances are somebody's rude to you, somebody's just annoys you for whatever reason, or a situation annoys you. But the question I always like to ask myself or suggest others ask is, will you remember this a year from now? Most of the time you're going to say no. If you do say no, then you should just, drop it, because it really is something that's just zapping your happiness. You're allowing it to. In fact, you probably won't even remember it next week.
You started this day 20 years ago, initially calling it Admit Your Happy Day. Why did you want to start this day in the first place?
Well, the society was actually a year old. It was our first birthday. So the society itself is 22 years old. And there weren't really any happiness holidays at the time. There were a lot of the disease days. There were some fun food days. There were some sad days. There were just a lot of sad days we recognized. So our first birthday was coming up, and it was myself and a group of our kind of charter members were like, what can we do to celebrate our birthday? And we were like, there's not a happiness day, so there should be a day saying, hey, when you're happy, admit it. And if you're not happy, we certainly never encourage people to pretend to be happy, because there's nothing more annoying than that. But, you know, when you are happy, embrace those moments.
Mm. We're talking with Pamela Gail Johnson about happiness. She's the founder of the Society of Happy People. Do you purposely make time for happiness? And if so, how do you go about doing that? How important is it to celebrate moments of happiness in your day-to-day life? Call in with your stories, your ideas. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Pamela, earlier this year, the World Happiness Report came out with new rankings on happiness levels of over 150 countries. Not good news for the U.S. We fell to number 19, and that was our worst showing ever on the ranking. What do you think explains that?
Well, I think America is somewhat in a transition phase. I think we actually, the last study I saw as a not in the World Happiness Report, but, you know, we're more depressed now than we have been, depressed, anxious, stressed, than we have been since the Great Recession, as they call it, in, I think, 2011, whatever year that was.
2008.
So, and I think there's a lot of things that contribute to that. One is I think people in general get nervous about, I think healthcare is like this anxiety people carry with them, because even if you work at a great company and you have company insurance, unless someone's ill, you're not sure that, you know, how good your insurance is, meaning they may or may not, you know, pay for medications or procedures that people need. And then you have a whole other host of people who don't have appropriate or, you know, what we call good insurance coverage. So I think people do walk around with an anxiety about that. If somebody gets sick, is you know, am I going to be okay? That's sort of a new anxiety in the last decade. We also live in this world of what I call competitive happiness because of social media. So people are, you know, judging other people's happiness based on a picture on
Instagram,
whatever social media platform you like.
Sure.
And it's particularly predominant amongst teens, but it is even predominant in adults. You know, I know people who have actually gotten off certain social media platforms because they get upset if they don't get enough likes or, you know, loves or retweets or whatever, you know, the platform is. And I know when sometimes people have told me this, I'm like, wow, because that's something you're not in control of. Like, you don't even know who sees what's in your feed. That's controlled by an algorithm. So that would impact your likes and loves. But I know adults in their 30s and 40s that have it, you know, it stresses them out. And if it does, you probably shouldn't be on those platforms. But I think that's a contributing factor. Like I said, we watch, you know, like I said, feeds, and we assume somebody's life is their feed. I think we also are just, we're also now living with another new anxiety of domestic terrorism, for lack of a better word. You know, when you go places, you're not sure that they're going to be completely safe. So everybody's sort of on an alert system that maybe we were only on at one point when we got on a plane after 9/11. I think anybody who flew, especially right after 9/11, you certainly were in a heightened state of anxiety when you got on the plane.
You kind of feel like there's no place that's really sacred anymore.
You have workplace violence, you have school violence, you have now shopping violence, festival violence. And so, like I said, it's just a subconscious thing, I think, that everybody carries with them that adds to stress and anxiety. And I have not seen a study on that, but I just still think it's there. So I think those things are contributing to our stress and anxiety, which the World Happiness Report does take into account.
We're talking about Happiness Happens Day, checking in with its creator, Pamela Gail Johnson. How do you make other people happy? Do you go out of your way to flash a smile or make someone laugh? Are we taking happiness as seriously as we should be in the U.S.? Join in with your observations, your questions, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about spreading happiness on this Happiness Happens Day. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. People in the U.S. ranked as the unhappiest they've ever been based on the recent 2019 World Happiness Report. We've been talking about how the U.S. fell to number 19. Finland is the happiest place on earth. Other studies also show that people are feeling more stressed and depressed and anxious. So where do you find moments of grace? What brings you happiness in your life? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. The founder of the Society of Happy People, Pamela Gale Johnson, stays with us. Pamela, is it more important to seek happiness for ourselves each day or to try to spread it to others?
Well, studies actually show that when we do acts of kindness or actually even something as simple as a smile, somebody probably will smile back at you, you know, naturally. So I think when we're helping others, we're also helping ourselves be happy. So I think both are important because I think you also can't give something you don't have.
Mm.
But if you are needing a happiness booster, just go do a quick RAK for somebody and you'll probably smile. It can be as simple as, you know, opening a door or helping somebody carry, when their arms are full, carrying in some packages for them. It doesn't necessarily have to be some big grand gesture. It could be getting them a cup of coffee. Most likely, when you do those little acts of giving, little acts of kindness, it will, you know, cheer you up as well.
So is it selfish to set happiness as a goal for ourselves?
Well, I think happiness in some ways is the goal. You know, we have a pursuit of happiness, which is, I think, instinctual in us, just like our pursuit of, you know, being on alert. That's sort of also part of our DNA. We grew up in, you know, we were, the caveman is part of our DNA ancestry. So we, you know, are naturally on alert to some degree to make sure wild animals aren't attacking us. And for survival, I mean, that is a part of our, again, how we're hardwired in our brains. So we do have to make a little bit of an effort to notice happiness when it happens. That can become your habit. So the society actually has 31 types of happiness. So I think people sometimes need to broaden their definition of it to expand how much happiness they may have. It's one of the easiest ways to see more happiness in your life is when you know, recognize more moments that are happy when they're happening.
You've been thinking about smile givers recently, people who make us and the world a happier place through just a smile. What are some habits we can learn from these smile givers?
Well, we actually are launching our campaign for the 20th Happiness Happens Month. It's called the Smile Starter Awards. So people who make us smile for whatever reason, so it could be that they did an act of kindness for us or just something super simple, or it may just be our friend that we like to call because when we hear their voice, we're smiling and laughing, or it could be your child or your dog, just numerous things that, or cat, because we don't want to forget the cat folks.
Don't leave them out.
The pet folks, you know, like it could be numerous things that are what we call your smile starter. So we actually have a big, I don't know why I said it's such a big goal, but we have a goal between now and however long it takes to recognize 1 million smile starters. The society actually recognized 40 official smile starters, and the happiest country for the past 2 years is on that list. So there's a lot of different, you know, there's a lot of different reasons somebody wants to smile. There's a lot of studies that show smiling benefits us, even if you have to fake it initially. So if you stand in the mirror and look at yourself and you smile back at yourself in the mirror, it's going to start producing some of those endorphins that make you naturally a little bit happier. So smiles are just the universal language of happiness.
We're talking with Pamela Gale Johnson about happiness. She founded the Society of Happy People. You can join in 800-642-1234. So how do you make others happy? Do you feel like you have to give yourself permission to be happy? And if so, why? Are you one of those people who smiles to others in the grocery store or as you pass someone on the street? Why do you do that? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Pamela, one of the places where people can seemingly be the most unhappy is at work, while often there's only so much we can do, especially if we're in a job that you might not like. Do you have any ideas for how to find those moments of happiness at work?
Well, I think work, just like life, isn't going to be all happy. So I think recognizing that is important. I think if you're actually in a job, you know that you wake up for every Monday morning or whatever day your work week starts, and you really, really don't like it, if you can consider other job options or figure out why you don't like it. Sometimes we get bored with a job, and so we're really more bored. And then once we become bored, we start looking for everything that's wrong with it. That's more obvious. So I think that's just something everybody always has to consider, because when we learn new things, we're happier. So again, if we get bored, just kind of figure out if that's your dislike at happiness. But if you're dealing with, let's say, chronically cranky coworkers or a boss that's not necessarily ideal, I think there are things you can do to better manage your happiness. For one thing, make sure you count every single time something goes right. Every single time something, you get like a win and you're like, yay, that project's finished. Give yourself a check mark, and literally give yourself a check mark on a notepad or a whiteboard or in your phone, however you want to do it. But make sure you're counting every single time what's rights are happening at work. You may try to find a work best friend. That's one of the best happiness indicators for people, is when they actually have a best friend at work. It might not be your best friend in life, but a work best friend that you can go on breaks with or go to lunch with and just, you know, talk about whatever you watched on TV last night or the kids' soccer game or whatever it is that's going on in your lives. But that's a real key to happiness. And always trying to make sure that you're being the coworker that you want others to be. And that doesn't mean letting people step on you, but it does mean making sure that if you're frustrated at work, that you're not mirroring that back to everybody. So try to be positive and be the person that people also want to work with, and then they will hopefully reflect that back to you.
Pamela, you've spent decades with thinking about happiness, acting on happiness. What has been your aha moment about yourself on this journey?
I think the biggest aha moment comes, it's in my practical happiness principles. It's like number three. It's like happiness changes as you change. So when I think about happiness, things in my 20s, 30s, 40s, they've all somewhat changed as to what makes me happy. It's not that what was making me happy in my 20s didn't make me happy then, but it might have changed for my 30s, for example. So I think that's probably my biggest aha, or maybe sometimes I didn't understand what somebody else was going through when I was a little bit younger. I didn't understand when people would reach this point. Let's say entertaining for the holidays. In my 20s, I loved entertaining and having parties and everything about it, from the guest list to the theme to the cleanup. I've noticed as I've gotten older, I'm sometimes now like, do I need to do a party for that, or can I get an invitation to someone else's? And I wouldn't have understood that with when I was younger. I didn't get when people go, well, I used to do all the Christmas decorating, and now I just do a little tree. Like, I didn't understand that. And I'm somebody who looks like a Hallmark Channel movie at Christmas. And now I'm at that point. I'm like, do I really need to do the two big trees plus the four small ones? Or can I just do two?
So you're thinking about scale these days.
Well, to some degree, because I think about, like, well, how long is it going to take me to clean it up? And I'd probably rather read a book versus spending 3 days setting it up and 3 days cleaning it up. Like, I'm like, that's a book. If I can shorten that down to a day, well, I can do something else I would prefer to do.
What you're saying there really reminds me of all the to-do lists we have each day and the little things in life, like making sure the bill gets paid on time and that it's in the mailbox at the time, and just all of these little things in life. Are there any tips you have on maximizing our happiness when life has so many other details that take away our attention from the present and from just feeling?
Well, I think one of the things about our to-do list is we always have to remember is it's never going to get finished, ever. It's always a growing part of our lives, because when you mark something off, you're going to add something else. So I think the most important thing to do is remember that most of our happiness, and if you look at the happiest countries and you look at the happiest work cultures and you look at the happiness in any place, it really does come when we are actually connecting with people. So your to-do list is going to be there. Try to put your bills on auto pay, but your to-do list will be there. So make sure you don't miss your people moments because of a to-do list. Make sure that you take time to connect with people, because ultimately your people experiences are probably where you find the most happiness. Now, if you're an introvert like me, like I said, you might start looking at, it takes me 3 days to do this, so I'd rather read the book.
Well, Pamela, thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Pamela Gail Johnson is founder of the Society of Happy People. Coming up, you have a line to Wisconsin's Secretary of the Department of Health Services. What health issues do you think are most important for our state government to address? Join in back after this news update on the Ideas Network.